everybody, this is William Del Pilar, and this is a special episode of Fired Up. It just broke out today in the Oval Office. Not quite the rumble from the jungle, but it was Trump versus Zelensky versus J.D. Vance, and we just have to break it down and talk about it. Trump is getting pushed back from both sides. J.D. Vance is getting pushed back from the other side. But to top it off, they're getting pushed back from the American public who is backing Donald Trump. And from there, we're going to go to white tears to black tears whining. Racist Reid finally gets the axe. MSNBC at Joy Reid's Woke Fest, the readout this past February 23rd, a day that will live in infamy. Well, not really, because we'll forget about her in a year or two. Regardless, conservatives are popping champagne as new boss Rebecca Cutler swings the axe, reads out, tanking at a measly 59,000 in the 25 to 54 demo, well below the 100,000, the 100,000 viewer kiss of death, meaning if you're below 100,000, you are done. Then where Trump's Truth Social roast seals it while liberals cry fascism. And we'll dig into the ratings numbers, the reset with Simone Sanders, Townsend, Jen Psaki. And we're not sure what the gender is, but Eugene Daniels, and also why Reid's race baiting flop. She's become a meme now. My show had value. Spoiler alert, no it did not. Finally, our fired up hot takes, 10 scorchers from Newsom groveling for Trump's billions to Elon and Trump smoking out lazy bureaucrats. It's a red-pilled reality today, so grab your coffee or whiskey because the truth doesn't wait and neither do we. So let's get to it with my co-host, Mr. G. Mangani. How you doing, G.?
I'm here and I'm ready to go. It seems like this house is going to be fired up just like the White House was today.
Woo! What are your initial thoughts about that?
Well, I mean, I will say that somebody on the Trump administration team ate Zelensky's lunch. And I mean, not figuratively, literally. He was kicked out of the house and they said, well, here's his lunch. Let's eat it. And they had lunch without him. So I just thought, and I'm looking at all the reaction across X, across my friends on Facebook, it's pretty divided, even on the Republican side. But I don't think they saw the whole 50 minutes. They just saw the 4 or 5 minute clip. But if you watch the whole 50 minutes, it was fine. I mean, they were getting along. They were making some jokes. Trump's hitting Zelensky's knees, and saying, pretty lighthearted stuff. And then all of a sudden, Zelensky started with his thing, and I'm sure we'll get into it. And it went all downhill from there.
Well, I think what happened was Zelensky was in front of the media. Oh, here's pictures of what they've done. They've taken 20,000 of our children of this. He wanted to get Trump to condemn Putin. Trump didn't want any of that. He wants to play arbiter. And I think Vance had enough. You're trying to use the media here to sit there and dictate terms of what we're going to do. In all honesty, Vance should maybe have not said anything, but this is how Zelensky has acted. Vance is right. He's treated all this, grab a few people, play the sad pose, do this, do that. And it's a serious issue. But let's be frank. He's enjoyed this along the way. Vogue, going down European countries' version of their Rodeo drives. The Ukraine elites are living large in Romania. We've given $100 million in funds that we know of in terms of you see $300 billion, you see
$300 billion. That's right.
$100 billion for sure. And he has actually acknowledged, we don't know where half of the money's gone. So I think Vance just got tired of it. And what we're going to do, I want to the audience, we're going to sit there and we're going to watch a video. Then I'll pause it. G and I will break it down for you guys and tell you what's happening because you're going to hear a lot. And we're not going to say that we're absolutely right. But a lot of people that you're going to hear from in the media and politicians, they're biased. The politicians are bought by the military industrial complex and the media just hates Trump. So they're looking at it from the lenses of we don't care about America. This is what we want to see happen. G and I are just going to break it down. I mean, I'll be honest. I don't want war. I think we need to get out of there. But I'm going to break this down as we see it.
You're going to show the 8-minute video, right?
Yes, I believe so.
Yeah. So
it's 8 or 9 minutes, I think.
Okay, so I will say in the whole 50-minute video, Zelensky came in, and you know, we should set the stage a little bit. So actually, let me back up to where Zelensky came out of the limo, and Trump said, "Hey, you dressed up really nice today." Clearly, he's making a pot shot at Zelensky, which is probably warranted. I mean, you know, Zelensky's trying to do the Steve Jobs thing. This is how I always dressed or whatever. But Trump's making a point that, okay, you're meeting the president of the United States. Dress up. Show some respect, right? And this goes back thousands of years. If you're a vassal state and you're going to the one that you pay tribute to, you pay tribute. In this case, dress up in a suit. And so it started off with that. But then when they sat down and the media had their cameras on them, Zelensky pulls out his pieces of paper, which had photographs printed on them.
Exactly.
And he was trying to get Trump to go, wow, look at all these atrocities. And like you said, trying to condemn Putin, which is not what you want to do if you want to try to do peace talks. You've got to, of course, and Trump even said this, I know you guys both hate each other, of course, but if you want peace, you've got to drop that rhetoric and get ready to talk peace. And we'll see in this video that you're about to show where it really went south, because like J.D. Vance jumped in. He said, we're just trying to talk. We're trying to have diplomacy. And that's right when it went south, not because of J.D. Vance, but because of Zelensky's response.
Right. G, you're absolutely correct. Now, Zelensky, I think, is trying to pull a shtick. He wants to be seen as a man who doesn't wear a suit. But you're right. You know, dress appropriately. I think Zelensky has an arrogance about him, like a petulant child, for the simple fact, people, that he's been given an open checkbook, you know, by the United States. And let's not forget Biden. And, G, I apologize to you. He did not bully Biden as much as Biden just got tired of, like a child, demanding, right, and never said thank you. You know, so that NBC reported that story a couple of years ago. Now, they're all pissed off at Trump today. Where were they when he did that to Biden? Now, granted, it wasn't in the Oval Office for everybody to see. It was reported a phone call. But Zelensky, I think, wants to go down in history as something. It's a fine line he's walking. If he cedes any land, he's going to be seen as a leader who gave up Ukraine. So he doesn't want to cede any land. That's why he's pushing so hard. And, well, let's talk about it. Let's watch this. So yeah. I think this is a different one I found. It's 9 minutes long. I think I sent you the 6 minutes. So it's probably a couple minutes earlier before what I sent you. So let's get going here.
I will respond to this. So look.
Can you hear that?
Here's the United States of America.
It needs to be a little louder.
Press conferences and talk tough.
Oh, yeah. Hold on. I think I got to stop this. It's not playing. Hold on 1 second, people. All right, G, we are back to the audience. Y'all aren't going to miss a beat, but we had to pause it for about 30 minutes. Well, not 30 minutes, for a little while to figure it out. So here is the video. It's about 8 minutes left. As G prefaced it, some stuff has already gone down. So let us check out what's happening here, G.
This thing over with. You see the hatred he's got for Putin. It's very tough for me to make a deal with that kind of hate. He's got tremendous hatred, and I understand that, but I can tell you the other side isn't exactly in love with, you know, him either. So it's not a question of alignment. I'm aligned with the world. I want to get the thing set. I'm aligned with Europe. I want to see if we can get this thing done. You want me to be tough? I could be tougher than any human being you've ever seen. I'd be so tough. But you're never going to get a deal that way. So that's the way it goes. All right, one more question.
Okay, G, at this point, that was a little bit of Trump's frustration. When I was watching this, I was like, oh, boy, Trump started. It's like he could tell he's keeping himself calm. And Zelensky, to his credit, I couldn't get much off his body language at that point. He seems okay with everything that's being said. Your thoughts? Because what he was saying there, he was saying, hey, look, I'm your option here. I can get a deal done. Y'all don't like each other, but I can still get a deal done. Your thoughts?
No, I did see something in Zelensky's body language, because he just said, well, you can see, obviously, he doesn't like Putin. There's a lot of hatred here.
Oh, he stiffened up, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, he did kind of like, oh, that stings. But when you're trying to negotiate, of course you're not going to go in and come in with guns blazing like Zelensky did, saying, look what the other side did, because that's not going to help bring a peace plan together or diplomacy if you're just pointing fingers at the other side. And Trump rightfully said, and, you know, he was softer on Putin. He said, well, the other side doesn't have any love for Zelensky. So he called what Zelensky had hatred, but what Putin had, no love, right? So, okay, so maybe on the scale of things, that is a little off, but...
well, it's obvious, G, he has bias for Putin because he gets along well with Putin, and he'll talk about it here shortly. So let's keep going.
Yeah.
I want to respond to this. So look, for 4 years in the United States of America, we had a president who stood up at press conferences and talked tough about Vladimir Putin, and then Putin invaded Ukraine and destroyed a significant chunk of the country. The path to peace and the path to prosperity is maybe engaging in diplomacy. We tried the pathway of Joe Biden of thumping our chest and pretending that the President of the United States' words mattered more than the President of the United States' actions. What makes America a good country is America engaging in diplomacy. That's what President Trump is doing.
All right. Why do you think he jumped in, G?
I think he wanted to make a point. We're just trying to have peace, right? That's the whole point here is let's have peace. And Trump's trying to make peace. And when you're banging, beating your chest like Zelensky's doing right there, saying Putin's the bad guy. And, of course, let's be clear, Putin is the bad guy. He was the aggressor and invaded another country. But I think J.D. Vance is just trying to bring it back to why they're in the room right there. They want to have peace, and they want to stop the war. They want people from stop people from dying. So I think that's why he jumped in. I think most of the 40 minutes beforehand, Trump did most of the talking. So I think J.D. Vance, I mean, it's not like J.D. Vance came in and said, I'm going to take over. I mean, he was quiet for most of the 40 minutes previous. So,
and, gee, this was supposed to be a meeting intended to advance the minerals deal and solidify U.S. support for Ukraine. All right, let's keep going.
Can I ask you?
Sure.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay, so this is...
He occupied it, our parts, big parts of Ukraine, parts of East and Crimea. So he occupied it on 2014. So... during a lot of years, I'm not speaking about just Biden, but those time was Obama, then President Obama, then President Trump, then President Biden, now President Trump, and God bless, now President Trump will stop him. But during 2014, nobody stopped him. He just occupied and took. He killed people. You know what the contact
2015.
2014.
2014
is 2014.
Yeah, yeah. So
I was not here.
Yeah, but
that's exactly right.
Yes, but during 2014 till 2022, yeah, was the situation the same? The people are.
All right, G. I want to mention something here at Rounded Liberty Events. Sorry, I just figured out, hey, I can actually keep the video in queue and get us back on screen. I learned something new to the audience. Now, he brings up the history, and Annette Ross and I are going to talk about the path that led to why we're here today. And what he does not mention, and he won't mention, it was smart of him not to mention, but we helped with the coup in 2014 of a duly elected president. Why? Because it was Russian-leaning, and they were in talks for Russia to take over Crimea, meaning to get their big sub-base back. The coup happened. Russia said, screw this, screw y'all, and they invaded and took Crimea anyway. And that's what he's referring to. That's when Russia started impeding. But that was triggered because of what the United States did. And to Trump's point, Trump's like, that's not me. I wasn't there. And to defend Zelensky, he just showing the track record of how this happened, meaning, hey, you're this president, then this president, then this president. And now you have Trump who's not taking Zelensky's side. So in that exchange, I think what you're seeing is he's not showing it yet, but there's a frustration with Zelensky. Hey, this happened, this happened, this happened. And then now it's I have to deal with peace. You know, I think that's what he's saying there. So your quick thoughts.
Yeah, I mean – I think Trump at this point probably got frustrated because now Zelensky won, and it probably worked under Biden. And I honestly don't think Biden spent a lot of time with Zelensky. I think it was the advisors. And Zelensky would come in and show pictures of dying people, and they would say, oh, here's a check. You know, make sure you win this war, right? Now he's not dealing with someone like that. So he's trying the same tactic, dress the way you want to dress, have your shtick, and show some pictures and say, give me money and I'll go home and continue fighting this war and enrich whoever is around him. But it's not working. And I think Trump's sitting there going, wait, 2014, I wasn't even around. And so I think maybe Trump probably took it as, hey, you were part of the problem. But the way I'm viewing it as someone from behind the camera is Zelensky's lecturing them. And I don't think that's appropriate. Again, you got to pay tribute to the ones who are giving you money. So when my son comes to me and starts lecturing me, I go, you're not getting your allowance today, buddy.
And, as my dad would say, as long as you live under this roof, my rules. And with Trump, as long as we're funding you, my rules. And that's how it works. You know, these people who play with William, it has to be like this, some equality or fairness, some honor. No. People are dying, and we're feeding into that death toll. And Trump is saying enough on both sides. Because he's right. These people do not want, these Russian kids, they don't want to go fight neither. All right, let's keep going.
Been dying on the contact line. Nobody stopped him. You know that we had conversations with him, a lot of conversations, my bilateral conversation, and we signed with him, me, like a new president. In 2019, I signed with him the deal. I signed with him, Macron and Merkel, we signed ceasefire. Ceasefire, all of them told me that he will never go. We signed him with gas contract. Yes, but after that, he broken this ceasefire. He killed our people and he didn't exchange prisoners. We signed the exchange of prisoners, but he didn't do it. What kind of diplomacy?
Now, there's a lot of intricacy in that, G, just real quick, is there were deals. Now, part of these peace deals, I forget what they're called, there were two of them, the Europeans nor the Americans took them seriously. They were like just going through motions. They didn't plan on honoring them on either end. So Zelensky has some rights to be upset here. But again, it's the previous regimes that are at fault. It has nothing to do with Trump. So I get what he's saying. But he's lecturing as to, he's trying to lead up to, this is why we can't have peace. You know, this is why we're right, they're wrong. So everything should go their way. He's trying to get America from being a mediator, the peace talks, to side with him. That's what he's doing there. You know, he's saying Russia did this, Russia did that. You know, and his defense, Ukraine was a useful pawn, meaning Ukrainians were benefiting off being a country that laundered money. It's just a corrupt country, and that was part of a chess piece, or that was actually a chess piece in the bigger diplomatic battles, for lack of a better way of trying to create an analogy. Your thoughts before we move on, keep playing.
Yeah, I mean, again, if we just think back just, what was it, 40 seconds ago in the video, J.D. Vance is saying, we got to try diplomacy. We can't beat our chest and stand this war footing. So then Zelensky is like, oh, wait a minute. Let me lecture you guys on something. So I'm sitting here trying to listen going, what's the end goal of this lecture?
The end goal
of this lecture is diplomacy will not work. So then what's left? War.
Exactly. No, you're right. JD was saying we need diplomacy. He ignored that instead of going, yes, you're right. We need diplomacy, and that's what we're going to talk about. We're here to talk about the mineral deals. He shifted into lecturing. Well, this, well, that, well, this, well, that. Good point.
Yeah.
Let's keep going.
JD, you are speaking about. What do you mean?
I'm talking about the kind of diplomacy that's going to end the destruction of your country.
Yes, but
Mr. President, with respect, I think it's disrespectful for you to come to the Oval Office and try to litigate.
Oh, real quick, body language. People who have closed arms like that do not want to hear it. They're pissed. They want to get confrontational. They don't want to listen anymore. They're thinking what they're going to say next.
Are off.
Exactly.
This in front of the American media. Right now, you guys are going around and forcing conscripts to the front lines because you have manpower problems. You should be thanking the president for trying to bring it into this conflict.
Have you ever been to Ukraine?
For the audience, there is video, nobody, I don't know if it's been authenticated, where you see them rounding up young kids and men and civilians in some of these cities and sending, and supposedly sending those men to war. Wives have gone on video saying they took my husband from us and they're going to send him to war. So that's what JD, and JD's point is that, you're dying. You're, though, that's an action that you see from countries towards the end of a losing campaign. The easiest example is Germany. They started conscripting 16-year-olds, 12-year-olds to go fight. So real quick comment before we move on.
Yeah, well, Russia's doing the same thing, but not because they're losing, but because they don't want to lose Russians. So they're going into the Georgian countryside and grabbing those guys and putting them in the front line, handing them a rifle, a la Enemy Behind the Gates, if you remember that movie. Here you go. Go fight the Ukrainians.
The North Koreans, too, you know?
Yep.
All right, let's keep going.
Did you see what problems we have?
I have been to...
Count once.
I've actually watched and seen the stories, and I know that what happens is you bring people, you bring them on a propaganda tour, Mr. President. Do you disagree that you've had problems with bringing people into your military? And do you think that it's respectful to come to the Oval Office of the United States of America and attack the administration that is trying to prevent the destruction of your country?
A lot of questions.
Right there, as he's talking, Trump is listening. And I think at that moment, Trump bought into what JD was saying, because he looks at like him like, yeah, that's right. If you see that look there, he had just bought, because he was looking at it, he was digesting. What's Vance talking about? Then he bought in. He's like,
I will say that he did ask Zelensky a question. He said, is that not true? And then he didn't let him finish, because the number one rule of debates is never ask a question that you don't already know the answer to, right? Yeah, or don't give them an opportunity to lie. Exactly. So he just continued on.
Let's start from the beginning.
Sure.
First of all, during the war, everybody has problems. Even you, but you have nice ocean and don't feel now, but you will feel it in the future.
You don't know that.
God bless
That's
you.
That's a place
bless.
To stop
you
right
don't,
there.
You gotta, war.
Don't tell us what would...
Go ahead.
What do you think he meant by that? You will feel this in the future.
I think he was just trying to sit there and say, hey, you got this OSHA protecting it. You're not feeling our pain. But one day he was implying Russia would encroach to us. And I thought that – I'm like, you're really stretching Red Dawn, the original movie, terms of the Russians coming. The Russians aren't going – CG, my issue with all this is, like, again, Annette Ross and I are going to do a clip on this. What led up to this? We are the bad guys here. America, you don't want to hear that. But that 2014 coup triggered everything that's happening now. You combine that with the United States of America, our USAID, our CIA, using Russia to launder money, the various other aspects, and creating corruption there within its own officials, and then the Ukraine being a chess piece in the greater diplomatic war that had a Cold War of sorts that happens daily. So him trying to sit there and say, hey, y'all will feel the pain later on, I think it's just he's truly stretching. You know, that's what I got out of it.
Yeah, and I thought maybe he's implying by us not doing anything now, we're going to widen the war and maybe go to nuclear war. That was my take as well, and I think that's where now you're seeing Trump jump in going, hold on a minute.
Yeah, exactly.
We're going to feel. We're trying to solve a problem. Don't tell us what we're going to feel.
I'm not telling you.
Because
I'm
you're in no position to dictate that.
That's
remember
exactly
this. You're in no position.
Just real quick. This is when it goes south. I mean, up until this point, they were like having some words, but it was still within the realm of diplomacy, maybe not how it should have been. This is where it starts to go off the rails.
To dictate what we're going to feel. We're going to feel very good.
Feel influenced.
We're going to feel very good and very strong.
You will feel influenced.
You're right now not in a very good position. You've allowed yourself to be in a very bad position, and he happens to be right about it.
From the very beginning of the war.
You're not in a good position. You don't have the cards right now. With us, you start having
cards.
Right now, you don't. Yeah, you're playing cards. You're playing cards. You're gambling with the lives of millions of people.
In his defense, that's where his English, he didn't understand the analogy that Trump was making.
That's probably true.
Yeah.
But he's definitely playing cards. He's definitely He knows the populace is mostly pro-Ukraine, so I think that's a good pause right there, yeah. But he knows the public is mostly pro-Ukraine, so I think he's talking to the media. He's doing this in front of the media instead of behind closed doors, so he could garner popular support here against Trump, and that's what's happening.
And here's the failure, I think, in that is even Democrats, even your most hated enemy, we all come together when somebody's attacking us. We're like, hold on, this is our house. You don't come into our house. You know, and it's like in the military, like a football team, like this. You may have your issues with one another, but when somebody starts attacking you, y'all come together. All right.
Gambling with World War III. You're gambling with World War III. And what you're doing is very disrespectful to the country, this country.
That's back to you.
Far more than a lot of people said they should have.
Have you said thank you once? This entire meeting.
Now, gee, this was the problem Biden had. Always asking. Any quick comments before we move on?
No, not yet.
You said thank you. You went to Pennsylvania and campaigned for the opposition in October. Offer some words of appreciation for the United States of America and the president who's trying to save your country.
Gee, I got to ask you, what are your thoughts of J.D. Vance bringing that? I forgot about that, but he went to Pennsylvania. Remember, it was supposedly a close election. Pennsylvania was up for grabs, and there's Zelensky campaigning for who? Not horizontal Harris. Kamala Harris. You know, your quick thoughts on that, on J.D. Vance. Brilliant or over the top, or what are your thoughts?
No. Do you remember what he said in the beginning? He said, thank God Trump's president. Do you remember that?
No, I think it's
in the first 30 seconds. And here J.D. Vance correctly brings up, no, wait a minute. You campaigned for Kamala. Exactly. You're not on our side.
Exactly.
Please, you think that if you will speak very loudly about the war,
He's not speaking loudly. Your country is in big trouble.
Can I answer?
No. You've done a lot of talking. Your country is in big trouble.
I know.
You're not winning this. You have a good chance of coming out okay because of us.
Mr. President, we are staying in our country, staying strong from the very beginning of the war. We've been alone, and we are thankful. I said thanks
We gave you this stupid president 350.
Okay, I will defend Zelensky real quick here. We've been alone. They have been alone in the sense it's only Ukrainians fighting, and he wants NATO to go in there and fight. So Trump saying you're not alone because we're giving you billions of dollars, you know, so you have it. In fact, you just hit me. $1 billion. We've given them $100 billion. The magnitude of that much money is beyond most other wars combined, you know.
William, Trump just said $350 billion.
Yeah, he keeps saying that. And when I've done my research, all I can track down is $100 billion, $60 billion in military aid, $40 billion in economic aid. Now, here's a kicker. Zelensky has sat there and said about half that money he can't account for. Now, in Zelensky's defense, that's how it works to America. Y'all bleeding hearts think the world works nice and fair. Y'all are too young to remember, but there was something called Live Aid. Back in the 90s or 80s, I can't remember, where all these singers came together. That's where Freddie Mercury and Queen had their massive comeback with the I can't sing, but my point is they raised billions and millions, and then they were shocked to learn that less than 70% of the grain, the food that they bought with all that money, got to the people in Africa. It's because it went to the warlords. It went through and ended up on the black market. Same thing in Ukraine. That's what happens when your country is as corrupt as a country like Ukraine is.
$1 billion. We gave
you
military equipment, and you men are brave, but they had to use our military equipment. If you didn't have our military equipment, this war would have been over. In 2 weeks.
In 3 days. I heard it from Putin. In 3 days. This is how
maybe less.
In 2 weeks. Of course, yes.
It's going to be a very hard thing to do business like this.
I can tell you. Say thank you.
Except
that there are disagreements, and let's go litigate those disagreements rather than trying to fight it out in the American media when you're wrong.
Boom. CG, that's my whole issue. This is a conversation that was supposed to be about minerals and signing a deal. And as you noted, he came out with pictures to show a kid. What he was hoping to do was to sit there and get those to the media and for the media to show them while they were talking. He was trying to, as you said, trying to sway America. You got to defend us. And it's still over 50% that support this, but it's fast. It's very quickly diminishing. It was 7% who opposed it when it started. It's at the last count I saw was 42%, and that may have been a couple weeks ago. Comment before we move on.
No.
We know that you're wrong.
But you see, I think it's good for the American people to see what's going on. I think it's very important. That's why I kept this going so long. You have to be thankful. You don't have the cards. You're buried there. You're people are dying. You're running low on soldiers. Listen, you're running low on soldiers. It would be a damn good thing. And then you tell us, I don't want a ceasefire. I don't want a ceasefire. I want to go, and I want this. Look.
Gee, that's when I perked up. I go, he doesn't want a ceasefire? So they're conscripting kids forcefully, and he doesn't want a ceasefire. I mean, when you heard, see, to me, that's what probably took place before they came out to the Oval Office, and that was a real issue. I think what he was telling Trump and Vance, J.D. Vance and Rubio, when they had their meeting with both their teams was, if we don't get the peace we want, we don't want a ceasefire. And he said that with the assumption, I believe, that we're going to keep funding this war. That to me was shocking. When Trump said, you say you don't want a ceasefire, the only way he can't have a ceasefire and continue on is with the assumption we're going to keep funding. So that to me is the whole crux of this. He wants to keep fighting with our money and is going to keep begging to get into NATO. Your thoughts?
Yeah. So Zelensky's end game is get Russia back across the border and end the war. It's never going to happen. And yeah, Jake Tapper, we know how pro-Trump Jake Tapper from CNN, formerly of CNN, is. He's not pro-Trump. He's anti-Trump. And he even tweeted today. He said this thing ends in three ways. One, we pull all our money out. Russia now has the upper hand and sweeps and takes over all of Ukraine. Two, we get involved militarily, and that leads to World War III.
Yep.
Or three, we do Trump's deal and lay down our weapons, and the Russians keep part of Ukraine. Those are the three realistic scenarios. The one Zelensky wants to have, it's not a realistic scenario. This is Jake Tapper saying it, and Jake Tapper is pro-Trump's negotiation here, which was surprising to see.
And out of those, I think number three will happen. I'll give my prediction. I think we're going to have peace because I don't know if I've told you, but I may have mentioned in a previous show, but the next country that has given the most is Germany at $12 billion. We've given $100 billion. Trump keeps saying $350 billion. They can't help. Now, they all swarmed to Zelensky. We're with you, yo, whatever the hell they call him. Little man, we're with you, little man. You know, and I'm like, okay, fund the war. They're going to sit there and look in the mirror. We ain't got to pop the pee in. You know, they're going to start making phone calls. Because if Trump holds here, they don't have the option to do one or two. Plus, Europe is in its own mess with the whole immigration battles. They don't have the manpower. A report came out that the 10,000 troops that Keir Starmer has committed, they can't even sustain that long term. They don't have enough in the coffers in the treasury to sustain a fighting force in Ukraine. And I think what Trump is saying, we're calling the shots here. Enough of the bullshit diplomacy. We are calling the shots. So I think you're absolutely right. And number three is the only deal. And just for the audience, Jake Tapper is still at CNN. You're thinking of Acosta.
That's right. Okay. Wrong firing.
Jim Acosta. Yeah. All right. Let's wrap it up here with this.
Yeah. If you could get a ceasefire right now, I tell you, you'd take it so the bullets stop flying and your men stop getting killed.
Of course, we want to stop the war. But
you're saying you don't want a ceasefire.
But I said to you,
right there. Gee, you're saying you don't want a ceasefire. See, nobody's really picked up on that. That, to me, is one of the most important points there.
A ceasefire. Because you get a ceasefire faster than any agreement.
Ask our people about ceasefire, what they think.
That wasn't with me.
For you,
that wasn't with me.
That was
with a guy named Biden who was not a smart person. That was with Obama.
It was your president.
Excuse me. That was with Obama who gave you sheets and I gave you javelins.
Yes.
I gave you the javelins to take out all those tanks. Obama gave you sheets.
You know, G, that's another important point. What Trump is saying, it was our weapons that allowed you to hold off the Russians. It's not an ultimatum, but what he's saying is without us, you're nothing.
That's right.
In fact, the statement is Obama gave sheets and Trump gave javelins. You got to be more thankful because let me tell you, you don't have the cards. With us, you have the cards. But without us, you don't have any cards.
One more question to Mark. Is this a vice president? I'm sorry.
It's going to be a tough field to make because the attitudes have to change.
What if Russia breaks this fire? What if Russia...
Oh, okay. So to the audience, what went on... what happened? She's like, what if? And I love Trump's answer because I hate those questions. What if? What if a bomb dropped on you right now? That's what Trump said. So, there's reports now coming that the Trump admin is considering halting billions in military aid shipments. If that happens, I think game over.
It is. Ukraine won't be able to stand. They'll probably collapse completely within weeks. Maybe a month, but I don't see how without the weapons. I mean, he's obviously getting the manpower. His what did they call in World War II? Volkssturm, the young boys and the old men.
That's
all you have left.
That's right. Yeah. Now they're also talking. What are your thoughts on the European leaders? Poland came out. Denmark came out earlier. Macron, you know, they got his words. He said a lot of nothing because he doesn't want to piss Trump off. Macron and Starmer, and I'm as close to hating a human being as Starmer, what he's doing to England. But I'm pretty sure they're on the horn with Trump's people begging. You got to figure out how to reconsider. Your thoughts on how Europe's obviously siding with Ukraine here, as are the Democrats and a few Republicans. But your thoughts on that, and I think you may have mentioned Lindsey Graham throwing Zelensky under the bus too.
Yeah, so Lindsey Graham is the most pro-Ukrainian pseudo-neocon, maybe a full neocon, I'm not sure. But even he said, okay, enough, Zelensky is obviously wanting to continue this war. Zelensky, I'm subscribed to him on Instagram, and he re-shared all the stories of all the world leaders in Europe, I should say the European leaders, and they're all like, we stand strong with Ukraine. Great, then you guys, I mean, there's more world leaders over there against Trump. Fine, then you guys go do your thing. Again, we're not isolationists, but if they're just going to give us a big middle finger, then maybe they need to go figure it out. I do think England would welcome war against Russia, like a hot war against Russia, and that's really disturbing to me. I don't see how this thing ends well. I mean, look.
Oh, I don't think so, G. Only because I think England still thinks it's 200 years in the past. I really do. You know, when one of their former prime ministers came on Twitter or X last year and said it was World War II anniversary or something, you know, this is the day we saved the world. I'm like, we? What's this? I think they have that mentality, you know, because remember, I don't know if you saw it, but Starmer was there like the day before or a few days earlier. And Trump just looked at him, do you think you can win a war against Russia? And everybody laughed. And what was funny, they were laughing at Starmer and at England because they know they can't, you know.
Right.
So I don't think they want a hot war as much as they're just arrogant SOBs over there. It sounds terrible to say, but that's what I see out of them. They don't want war, but they're just arrogant because everybody who wants war, they don't want war. They want us to support their war.
Yeah, or that we fight the war on their behalf or whatnot. But I was watching again, and I always bring up this Turning Point series on Netflix because it was amazing and it's fairly neutral. So you had Stalin and then Khrushchev, and both of them were anti-West, although Khrushchev was a nicer version of that. And it came to head with the Cuban Missile Crisis. But all you have to do is wait it out. You wait it out because there's someone new around the corner who's not going to be so belligerent and warmongering. So Zelensky's saying, well, Putin's going to come across. You're going to feel it across the ocean soon. Well, Putin's 73 years old. I mean, he doesn't have that many years. So do the ceasefire. call some kind of truce. And the guy maybe has, I mean, if he really treats himself right, maybe 8 years left. I mean, then there's going to be someone else. And that guy could be worse, but most likely it will be someone who's tired of war as well.
But here's the thing, G. Somebody like Putin is calculating. Well, we have the fear on our side. It's going to be a terrorist with a dirty bomb. You know, that's what we're going to have to fear. China and Russia and these other – and Europe and these other players, they know what a nuclear devastation. But you get a terrorist, you know, yeah. They don't care. So Putin – I mean, not Putin, but Zelensky's wrong. I saw the interview – and I tweeted this out or posted, ex-posted, whatever the hell they call it nowadays. But I said, I would recommend for Zelensky to keep the meeting, the interview with Brett Baer on Special News Report and start trying to mend bridges. Well, Brett Baer goes, ask him for an apology. He refused to. He didn't double down, but he came off. When the analysts are breaking this down, there's not one analyst who has viewed Zelensky in the positive here. Now, the leaders may say something. The sycophants on the Democrats and Americans out there, they say something. But when analysts who are looking at this, it's one of the few times I'll agree with most of them. They're spot on. Let me give you the final word. Again, you gave us those three options. Give them again and then tell us what you think is going to happen.
Yeah, so the three options, the four options – the first one being impossible is that Putin retreats across the border and says, oops, never mind, and Zelensky gets all of Ukraine back. Not going to happen because Putin has the upper hand right now. So the other three options is one, which is what we're on the course right now of doing, is saying, screw you, we'll take our money and rebuild North Carolina and L.A., and you deal with Putin yourself, and Putin takes over all of Ukraine, takes the other 80% of Ukraine. I mean, he only has 20%. The second option is Trump goes, oh, never mind, we'll join the war with you, and that escalates into World War III, because I don't see how you not escalate it to that point, and possibly nuclear war. Or the third option is Trump's peace plan here, and that peace plan is going to be Ukraine gives up some land. Now, whether it's as much as Putin has right now or maybe some amount less, it's definitely not going to be any amount more. But I think that's the most likely. I agree with you. That's where we're going to land. I think Zelensky's going to face a lot of hell from his group underneath him, and he's going to come back with hat in hand. And I wouldn't be surprised if we saw him wearing a suit and tie.
Right. Oh, and I'm sorry to the audience. We have to show you this picture. Stop screen. Let me present. This epitomizes how it went for Zelensky. That woman right there, you see, that is the Ukraine ambassador. And I feel for her because Zelensky's going to fire her because her body language, I mean, she's like, oh my God, shut up. That's what's going through her mind. Am I wrong?
No, that's the Jean-Luc Picard facepalm. It's like,
Yeah, you know, because she knows. Even Lizzie Graham said, go there, give thank you, you know, be grateful, understand where you are at. And his arrogance. Yeah, sorry about that, the audience. I meant to show that earlier. Sorry about I promised you the last word. I kind of lied. Sorry.
No, that's fine.
All right, guys.
Zelensky just feels like he's a little chihuahua with, like Trump said, no cards, no power here, saying, you guys are wrong. I'm going to go down with my country, and we're going to fight for every bit of land back. And
I don't know, G, chihuahuas can bite, man. He's more like an old dog with no teeth left. All right. This seems odd. We are going to go from this massive Ukraine to MSNBC. You know, white tears to black tears whining. Racist Reed finally gets the act. People, MSNBC finally pulled the plug on Joy Reed's insufferable The Readout on February 23rd. And that's a move conservatives have been stating should have been done long ago. Why? She's a blatant racist. And as the network's new boss, Rebecca Cutler, she's starting to swing her axe because they are going to be spun off, meaning they don't have NBC's treasure chests to fall off and continually lose money. So we cue the predictable liberal tears and obviously Trump's triumphant truth social roast, and it's proof the tide's turning against woke media. I got to be honest with you, it was satisfying for me to see MSNBC finally admit defeat on Reed's unwatchable woke fest. And can we expect the rest of the liberal media to follow suit or keep drowning in their tears? Your quick thoughts on the Reed. And to the audience, I'm Latino. G is Indian. We're supposed to be on Joy Reid out on Joy Reid's side, but the truth of the matter is, we look at ourselves as Americans. Am I wrong to think that? Your thoughts, real quick.
Yeah, I mean, again, like if we're supposed to be a society that celebrates differences, then you don't make decisions based on our differences, which is exactly what that means. If you're going to say, oh, well, I need a black person, and you know, some of these Star Wars movies, oh, we need a black person playing this one and an Indian person playing that role, it really just diminishes us as unique individuals, and we end up being tokens, right? And
right.
And they're the side who calls, you know, an Indian person in the crowd, oh, there's a token Indian. But they do that all the time, and so they do it for the show. Joy Reid, I've watched a couple of her shows, and she's like, I don't know, she's five cans short of a six pack. Is that how you say it? She's not the brightest person.
And to the audience, you'd be shocked at how many events I've gone to when I tell them I'm Latino. One guy started showing me I can't remember who was president. But he was showing me these Twitters, and they're all anti-Republican, anti-conservative, because he assumed I was a leftist. When I went to my first Valley Center planning group, the hardcore Democrat came up to me, talking to me as if I was a Democrat, because as G stated, they assume we're going to be their little brown. I'm not technically brown, but a full-blown Latino. I got the Spaniard gene in me, but we're supposed to fall in line. So the reason I said white tears, black tears is she had a host segment about white tears, and she was just denigrating racially white people. And so it was sweet to me to see this.
But also that my show had value and that that what I was doing had value.
People, yes, I am celebrating this because I view her and David Dukes as coming out of the same. Racism is racism. Let me tell you something, America. I was born into a mixed family. My grandmother was called the N-word. My cousins are all brown. I never realized any of this until I moved to the States that, wow, there's white and black. It just was never part of my world. And growing up in my world, I realized, well, there's black races, there's white races, now there's Latino races, I learned, there's Asian races. And in my military travels, I found the Indian culture the most accepting out of any culture. I had never met an Indian that has gone, bleep those whiteys, or bleep those blacks, or bleep those, or Asian. Well, technically, you guys are Asians, but the traditional Asians, Japanese, Chinese, I've seen rampant racism. And my point isn't to destroy any culture or knock on them. Every culture has their races. So when I see Reed, it's just a black version of David Dukes. And maybe I'm too naive. Your culture's the only one I've never really seen it. You know, but they're all friendly at the 7-Elevens.
No, there's racism in Indian culture as well, but there's also the sense of when someone visits, then there's a sense of you treat the guests like they're God coming into your house, right? So they'll put aside, if there is any bigotry or racism, they'll put it aside. But there definitely is. And just watching Reed do that, I mean, her show's called The Readout. I mean, I call that the freak out, just what we just saw right there. I mean, she's melting down saying, I thought I provided value. Now, I watched something that she responded to about Trump about 2 weeks ago. I don't watch the show. I just watched a clip on X. And she was still on the tropes of, he's a fascist, he's a convicted felon, he's a racist. And it's like, wait a minute. Haven't the American people litigated this already? And we've decided that, no, he's not. That's why we put him into power. Then I can understand why people are not watching her show anymore. I know we're going to get into the numbers here in a little bit, but I think people tune that out because if you don't have anything new to offer, there's no value. I've heard the, you know, Trump is Hitler thing a million times already. So offer something new. And the freak out didn't do that.
And her final show was on fascism. Real quick to get back to your racism, of course there's racism. And just looking at your movies, to the audience who follows us, y'all know I'm a big Indian movie fan. I always, the Telugu movies are my favorite because that's where I see the working man type guy. And they're the darker Indians out there. Then, and I always go back, and I love his acting, but the Hrithik Roshan, is that how you say it?
Yeah, Hrithik. The H is silent, yeah.
See him, they're so white, you know? So my assumption is there's caste, there's class, a lot of English blood flow through there, through various. So I assume I've just, in America, I've just not seen that, but I'm sure every country has a caste system of sorts.
Well, and on point real quick, since we're on it. So the Hindi word for light-skinned is gori, which is also synonymous to beautiful. So, you know, the more white you are, and this is every culture, right? I mean, even within the black culture, they've done tests where they all show the same person but a different lighting. They always say that the lighter-skinned version of that person, they don't realize that 50 photos earlier they saw him before, the lighter version is more beautiful or more handsome. So there is, that's just a human thing, and you know, that's not a cultural thing, it's a human thing. I think America's a little different because the better tan you have, you know, people respect that here.
In the 80s, seeing some dark tans, and I'm like, even then I'm thinking, boy, that's leather in 10 years. You know? All right, so Rachel Maddow came to her defense. I don't spend a lot of time on her, you know, pissing and whining. She's the one who I respect more. She's taught me anything. Rachel Maddow, right now she's working every day, people, but she only works one day a week. For Trump's first 100 days, she's working 5 days a week. Then she's going back to her one day a week. She's being paid $30 million. She was gracious, G. She took a $5 million pay cut. However, $25 million. If she would take a pay cut to say $20, $15 million, because her time is coming too, because MSNBC just can't afford her contract. Patrick Bet-David, another podcast you should listen to, they kind of broke it down, and I also broke it down via Grok, you know, bringing up. She's, at best, she's a cost leader, but they're not bringing in new viewers, so she's helping to bleed the money dry. But real quick, G, your thoughts on her white savior coming in. But what was she really saving? Reed's still out. She's collecting her $25,000, and she threw her new owner under the bus, and that will come back to haunt her. Your thoughts on Rachel Maddow?
I mean, that's clearly favoritism there, and she's circling the wagons because I've seen clips of her too, and it's the same tropes that we talked about earlier. She just repeat those same things: convicted felon, Hitler, fascism, and now she's not going to know who's going to replace Reed, like what kind of people they are and what they're going to talk about. But clearly, something needs to change.
I'm glad you brought that up. So Rachel Maddow was wrong because they're replacing her with three minorities, a Latina and two blacks. But they're also bringing on, they're adding to their weekend panel. This is one of their weekend panel replacements. You got to see this, people. You got to see this. Oops, share screen. And let me give kudos to, this is the Washington Free Beacon. To give proper kudos. This is who they're replacing. Oh, let me set it up here to the audience. I apologize. It's kind of small. There we go. Eugene Daniels. That is Eugene Daniels right there. Look at that one on the right. Woo! Stick that booty out, sister. Oh, yeah. Looking like the Jetsons there. It's like this is what they're going to. Oh, here's my favorite. You know, it's like look.
All right. For the audience, I'm seeing this for the first time, too. I am confused at what I'm looking at right now.
He is one of the weekend co-hosts that's going to come on in a roundtable format. Yeah, he's a pretty big guy, though, unless Kamala's there. Looking like Star Trek The Next Generation's there, you know. He's like, I voted there with my mask. Good afro, though. That is a great afro. I'll give him that. I'm a product of the 70s, you know. But my point is showing that is they're catering not to black men. They're trying to change – how we see black men. That's Don Lemon, this guy. It's, you know, it's where's their Denzel Washington version? Where's their strong Latino version? They get all these feminine version of the minorities, but then they get uber strong women, and like her or not, Joy Reid was a strong woman. Rachel Maddow is a strong woman. They're ignorant and full of hate, but they're strong. They'll go down with their ship. I just, it's like, if you're going to sit there and be the savior for culture, at least prop the culture up and don't try to create something out of that culture that isn't the norm. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, okay, so, and I'm going to take the role of host here for a bit so you can just expand upon this for a second. So Eugene Daniels, am I correct in thinking that he's more of an effeminate man and that they're just trying to reach out to that type of...
That's my assumption. I didn't dig into him. I just saw that he was going to replace him. When I saw that, and I apologize. Great question, G. I didn't deep into that. But when you dress like that, yes, that's what I would say.
No, so it goes beyond race at this point, right? They're just trying to, like, corner... Okay, well, what did Rush Limbaugh always say? Or was it Glenn Beck? But it was always, okay, well, if you check more than one box, I think it was Glenn Beck, then you have this, like, hierarchy of oppressed people, right? So who's more oppressed, the black person, or is it the Muslim person, or is it the black gay person? Okay, well, now that person has two check boxes, so they have a lot more clout than the black guy who's manly, right? So that's what it seems like they're trying to do here. Like Joy Reid, she's always seemed, and should I say Mark Cuban or Rachel Maddow? I always get confused between the two, but but Rachel Maddow looks like a very masculine woman, right? And then now they're going towards a effeminate guy. But again, like some of those pictures that I saw of Eugene just now, he looks pretty masculine as well. So I would just have to see a video of him in action and see what he's like.
Well, but they have the white guys. The two white guys are still there. Now, in defense of Rachel Maddow's twin brother, Chris Hayes, because I swear to God, G, they look like brother or sister, literally twins. Chris Hayes' show averaging 1.2 million. Lawrence O'Donnell's The Last Word, Chris Hayes' show is at 8. Maddow's show is at 9. Jen Psaki's going to replace her. Lawrence O'Donnell's at 10 p.m. So at 1.2 million, Chris Hayes pulls, and Lawrence O'Donnell 1.3 million. So they're safe. But at the end of the day, you know, you always hear from the white people, we need to do more and more. But they won't give their jobs up. Rachel Maddow won't take a pay cut to help her fellow sister, black sister there out, and Joy Reid. Now let's talk about why she got canceled, G. And this is ugly. This is ugly here. So she was hemorrhaging viewers, and she was specifically tanking in the critical 25 to 54 demo. So she came on at 7. She was competing with, you know, other shows. But when she got canceled, she was averaging 122,000 in 2022. That was a warning. And then this is the demo. By 2025, she was 59,000. To the audience, a reminder, that 100,000 number, once you start trading to 100,000 in the demo, you're looking at being critical, as if you're on life support, meaning it's just a matter of time before the networks cancel you. She'd been at 59,000 for a while, you know? So even her her fans were calling her out on that. So at 59,000, it's a ratings issue. Some people are trying to make it a race issue, which it's kind of odd considering they're replacing her with two blacks and a Latina, you know. What's your take? Ratings or as the left says, it's because MSNBC is racist.
It's ratings. It's definitely ratings. And I remember you brought up the topic, I want to say a month ago, about Fox News having more Democrats watching Fox News in prime time.
Right.
Meaning the Jesse Waters and the Laura Ingrams and the Sean Hannitys, then watching the Joy Reid. And I also saw this thing with KJP. I can't say the name. Jean-Pierre, the spokesperson for Biden, right?
Jean-Pierre.
Jean-Pierre. Jean-Pierre. So she was on the show, and I saw a clip, and she said, I can't watch the news anymore. Ever since the inauguration, January 20th. I can't watch the news anymore. For my own health, I can't sit there and hear about what Trump's doing and stay sane. I'm undergoing counseling. She's saying this on a stage. I forgot what the venue was. But
I saw that too, yeah.
Yeah. And so I'm sitting there going, wow. So it really affects them when they watch someone like Joy Reid going, we have a Hitler in office, and Hitler's making your life miserable, and America's going to suffer for the next 4 years. And you got Democrats going, I can't even watch one day of this, let alone 4 years. I'm turning off the tube, and I'm going to counseling, and I'm going to the beach, and I'm going to play bocce ball in the back. Like, that's why they're not watching anymore, because everything is Trump is Hitler, America's society is being destroyed, which is not true, and eggs, Trump's destroying all the eggs.
Right. Like, oh, you're right.
He's responsible for another pandemic. What the heck? So that's why the ratings are down, and that's why Joy Reid is not – she's not offering any value to her base. She's not giving any value. She's just giving anxiety and stress.
Well, she started out hot, 2.63 million total viewers, 352,000 in the demo. That was in July of 2020. She beat Fox, who had 2.14, 369. Fox beat her in the demo, but she was – uber competitive, and she doubled CNN Erin Burnett, even beating her both total viewers and the demo. So Matt El's king at MSNBC in their different time slots, but her show never matched Matt El's, you know. So she was doing pretty good, and then 2022 came around, 1.1 million, 122,000 in the demo. Fox doubled up on her, you know. Then in 2023, 973,000 total viewers, 100,000 in the demo. So they kept – so she was on life support, G, for 2 years. Jesse Waters was destroying her, you know, both in the demo and in total viewers. Then 2024, 850,000 total million viewers. She was still hemorrhaging. She improved a little bit. Oh, no, I'm sorry. Late 2023, I already said that. I apologize. I was looking at the wrong numbers. In 2024, 850,000 total, 70 to 80,000 in the demo. She's literally brain dead at that point, but they kept her on the air. What's happening at this time, G, as we talked about in previous podcasts, NBC's cratering. NBC Comcast is trying to sell them with no buyers. They kept her alive. She was, and that hurt, I think, the sale. Finally, they're being spun off, whether they want to or not. And that is what the new president came in and said, we got to shed ourselves of these shows. I think that's kind of what happened here. You get the final word on the ratings before we talk about Trump celebrating.
No, the value, like she said, it comes in presenting the news in a very fair way. Of course, if you have a bias, don't make your crowd or your audience anxious, and that's what she was doing. So, yeah, I think to sell MSNBC off, they're going to have to become a little more centrist, like CNN is trying to be, but they're still left of center. So I thought it was a good move, and they still have Rachel Maddow to go. I think they need to get rid of her, but she has the viewers, so they probably won't get rid of her.
She doesn't. Her viewership has massively dropped too, you know. So,
but she's still averaging what 200,000. So that's she's
averaging
still back.
5 to 2 million and 200,000 in the demo. When she got the contract, she was averaging 300,350. So she's lost her luster. And gee, that's I would get that if you're earning a few million in today's Anchorage spot. But she's earning 25 million. She's not making enough in advertising revenue, and she's no longer the cost leader. My final take on the ratings, to take this advice free of service to MSNBC and CNN, you got to wipe the slate clean and bring everybody new, because it doesn't matter who you have with the leftist bent, that's how you will be perceived. But if you get a brand new slate of people, they and you start actually doing more conservative news with the progressive news, you're going to pick up your audience, you know. So that's my take on that. Trump celebrated. He called Reid, and I agree with him, a mentally obnoxious racist. And that's what you said. She's what? Your analogy there. She's kind of lost it. And I think the hate worked 4 years ago because they riled up their base. I think their base is just tired. You know, you can't hear the same thing over and over and over and maintain that same energy of hate, maintain the Soros-paid groups to go out. You just run out of energy. And when I say energy, you get tired. You get depressed hearing all that over and over. The lie becomes a truth. And in their minds, well, Hitler won. So they're going into their shells. You get the final word on this take, G, before we close the show out, my friend.
No, so the viewers, they even face a more daunting thought in their worldview that if Hitler won, it was the American people who wanted the Hitler to be president of the United States. So now they're looking at their neighbors with suspicion and fear, and that's what MSNBC is fed into. Now, I just wish Trump would be a little more like Reagan and not fight back, but I understand he's like that. So,
well, they, gee, when they call you a racist every day and they lie about it,
I get it.
They've come to mind. And there you have it, my friends. Stay tuned. We're going to do the hot takes in a different segment, and we'll upload it at GrumDiesMedia.com. Before I sign off, I want to thank G. Mangani for being my co-host or panelist here in this special episode. But you can find this podcast, Fired Up, at GrumDiesMedia.com, as well as Rumble, YouTube, Apple, Spotify, and Pandora, under the handle Grumblings Media. Again, the hot taste is going to be in a separate clip unto itself, so look for it at grumbliesmedia.com or YouTube and Rumble. And, G, thank you so much for attending. And to the audience, we shall see you all sooner than later. I am William Del Pilar for Fired Up. And for G. Mangani, I bid you adieu.